Happy Thanks, Church. Today is also the first Sunday of Advent and the time when we share testimonies with one another. It's such a blessing to be able to share who we really are, what we're going through, both good and bad, with family. If we really believe in God, then we know that this is really family. Not the only one, but true family. So whatever we're thankful for, especially, but it doesn't have to be exclusively that. It can be whatever is on our hearts. But today is organized around the theme of Thanksgiving for obvious reasons. But there's also a lot that we're going through. So whatever is on our hearts, we invite our people to come forward and share something in this family gathering. So Jinsu has a microphone right there that he will hand directly to you. All right, Nancy, and please do introduce yourself first.
Hi, I'm Nancy Allen, and I am so grateful. I am so grateful for Jesus, for God's grace for this past year. I'm grateful, as Pastor Jin said, for this family, a place where I could come and just kind of fall apart, place where I could call my pastor on an afternoon on my way home from work, and he canceled everything and just spent some time with me, comfort and consoling. A family that stood behind me and said, just quit your job. And it's crazy, and people were so jealous and so envious that I could just quit my job and then have some time of healing and restoration. I'm just so grateful for each one of you for your encouraging words during that really kind of yucky time. I am grateful that we can have family come and live with us in community housing, and it's going really, really well, and you can ask them after when they arrive. You know, you get past 50 and you think, well, can you learn anything? Can you change? You can. And we've learned a lot and we're changing. I'm thankful for Daryl, for his support and always encouraging me. I'm thankful that I've got not just one, but two grandbabies coming in the new year.
Amen.
I'm thankful for this church that we could, the day after the election, when some of us were just devastated by the stuff that was going on, and it still continues to go on, a place where we can come. We can be thankful, but we can also grieve. I'm just thankful for the open hearts and hands of everyone that is here. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve and love each and every one of you. It is the greatest privilege of my life. So just thank you, and just thank you, God.
Amen.
Hi, Church. I am Rebecca. Some of you know this has been a rough year for a lot of people, but it's also been a rough year for me personally. This summer, both of my mom's parents passed away within 3 weeks of each other. I found out that my grandma had cancer the day after I started a new job. In between my grandma and grandpa dying, my sister and my brother-in-law moved away. There's been a lot going on. It's just been really difficult. And I've been so thankful for the support of this community, both through all of that and also just in advance. Daniel and I have talked a lot about kind of just working through it and dealing with all of that, and there's no way that I could have survived through all of that as well as I have without the support of this community and all of the things that I've learned from being here. Just learning to feel my feelings, and even if they're crazy, and just deal with them and be honest with myself and with others. So I'm just so thankful as things continue to be crazy, not just personally, but in our country. Really thankful for this place to just be ourselves and be family to each other. Thanks.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, Church. I'm Jessica, and I just want to say how thankful I am for the parenting retreat we had this year. It's been just really awesome for me to have thought about the things that we thought about, talked about the things that we talked about. It gets opened a big old can of worms that I wasn't ready to open, but I think it's going to be really important for making both Nick and I much better parents, so I really appreciate that we had that. Mm. Thank you.
Amen.
Good morning, church. My name is Kendra Perez, and a week and a half ago, the board of directors of my company decided to remove my boss from our company. If you are not familiar, I have been working with this same individual. His name is Thompson Adarankomi, and he happens to be a second-generation Nigerian-American and has started a company. I worked on it, well, it would be 5 years that he and I have been working together on Thursday of this week. So it was something shocking, but at the same time, not in the midst of this society that we live in. I was really grateful that when I texted Pastor Jin about it, he was like, I just told him that the board had removed my boss, and he was like, I'm so sorry that we live in this white supremacist society. And I was like, that's right. So what I'm thankful for, though, then this morning I was talking to Daniel about it a little bit, and he was like, you know, that's one thing I like about your boss, because he's already trying to, like, figure out how to move on and create something new. He's like, you know, that's one thing I like about your boss. He's kind of like me, as in Daniel, that the world will give you grapes and you'll turn it into lemonade, because I don't like grape juice. And I was like, you know what? That's right. Like, I am so grateful for the opportunities that I have to learn, to grow in resilience, but also not in a way that's like gonna say, oh, this was okay, or like, you know, there is that hope that that like God has a plan in our lives. It's really sucky when the brokenness of this world and our society just, I don't know, kind of stomps on you. But yeah, so I'm really thankful for a community that gets is able to see through these things and not just say, oh, well, that's business or something like that that diminishes or takes away from the oppression of it. And I appreciate what Jinsu had to say this morning too about what it means to give thanks and to know that it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, it's going to bring about, like, financial prosperity or that it's going to fix the situation somehow, but that God is with us in those things and that his values are different than what we experience in our day-to-day lives, which can give us hope and community. So thank you.
Amen.
Good morning. As I said last time when we did this for the All Hallows Church Day. I'm very new, so I apologize. Like, I don't know everyone, but I thank you for letting my family start to attend church here, and we're going to continue. And this last year has been like the most strange year of our life. So those of you who know me know that exactly a year ago, my family was living with some friends in their basement because we had moved out of our apartment and we were ready to live in South Korea for anywhere from 1+ years. And so that was exactly a year ago. we arrived basically New Year's Eve in Seoul, and we were ready for our adventure of, like I said, 1+ years, and got to our school in Jeonju where we were both going to work, and long story short, did not work out. It was not going to be supportive of our son, who was a young 3-year-old at the time, and we kind of quickly, after about 2 weeks, left in a hurry to try to find jobs in Seoul, and you know, jobless, money is kind of waning, we're trying to figure it out. Long story short is I got a job, and eventually my husband got a job, and then my son transitioned into a daycare in Korea, and then realized that the company that my husband was with was very ill-equipped to work with any sort of flexibility. So we ended up leaving that in June, and I had a lot of support from my former employer here in Minnesota, and luckily they were very open to me coming back, and that's how that motivated me to come back. And our family transitioned again back in June to Minnesota. And so that was quite the first 6 months of this year. So I'm so grateful to all the people that helped us job search, who helped us leave Minnesota, who helped us come back to Minnesota, quite a lot. And then, like I said, I was thankful, so thankful and grateful for the job that I started right away working at Neighborhood Development Center. And then we were able to sell our home that we had been living in before. And then that was very, like, wonderful. And then we bought a place, so... And then my son transitioned from one daycare here in Minnesota to Sejong Academy, which you work at. And we were very thankful for that, but he's now been in 3 schools in 1 year. And again, we've just been blessed with so many wonderful people along the way to really help us through all these changes. And even though I wouldn't say they were necessarily overly painful changes, they were just a lot at 1 year. So I felt like if I didn't come up and say something about how grateful I am to everyone in my life who's contributed towards supporting us, and then at the very end of this year, we decided to go back to church. My husband and I haven't really been a part of a church community in decades, so it's a new journey for us, and I thank you guys now and in advance for that support. So that's been my 2016. How about you?
Good morning, church. My name is Est Mungai. I'm back home for Thanksgiving break, and I'll probably be back for Christmas, so you'll get sick of me. But I just want to say that I'm very grateful. I've been living in South Carolina for the last year and a half now. I moved there from D.C. For a job that I really love and I enjoy. But living in the South, especially this last year, has been very stressful, especially in Charleston, which is like the deep South where 80% of the slave trade in the United States came through, and to go around and always be constantly reminded, even just moving to South Carolina and trying to find an apartment was very difficult because almost everything is named after some plantation or some big slave owner, or it was just very difficult transitioning to that kind of place. I'm very thankful for my job. I work as a community organizer, and through that I've been able to meet a lot of people, and it's congregationally based, so I haven't found a church home yet, but I've been surrounded by a lot of people of faith of different backgrounds. That's really been a support and family to me, but there is still a lot of loneliness and being in a new place that's very foreign. So I'm always thankful to come back home to family here, and even have family come visit from Ohio that was with us. So I just want to say thank you to all the church family here that I've known from before and those that are new that I don't know yet. I just want to ask for prayers. In my job, we're working on racial discrimination in policing, which hit very close to me moving to South Carolina, given all the things that have happened there in the last 2 years or so. And then this past summer when Philando Castile was killed, about a mile and a half from where I grew up when I was going to school here, it's been a very difficult year to cope with all of that and then work every single day in a job where we're trying to deal with that in Charleston, South Carolina, is very stressful. So thank you all, and God bless.
Amen. Welcome back, Esther Joy, and we're very proud of the work you're doing.
I'm Jordan Wright, and I'm thankful this year because I keep forgetting that it was this year. It feels like a long time ago already that we graduated Underground Seminary. And since then, I have been supported and a part of this church completely, and it feels like my home now more than ever. I'm not a student anymore. I'm part of this church, and I'm very grateful for that and for each and every one of you. And I'm grateful for the opportunities to lead and grow here. I just want to say thank you to the leaders of Underground Seminary. I'm still on the grateful train for that. I have not gotten off of it yet. So thank you, guys.
Amen.
Morning, church. I'm Corey Magsta. This morning on my little Facebook memories things that always pops up, there was a picture of Lori beating me at cribbage. And the story behind that picture is I was actually sitting in a chair receiving chemo, and my brain was filled with morphine and Ativan and... She hasn't beaten me since. So I'm grateful that over the last 3 years, my health has been restored.
And amen.
That I can win at games again. And thankful for Lori and for the kids and their support along the way. And then I'm thankful, and we've shared this before, but continues to be true, and I talked about this at cell group this last week, that we're so grateful that we are now in a place where we know that if... things would go south again, or health would, cancer would come back, or whatever, that we know that we're in a place where we have a community that will love us, care for us, and support us. And so, anyway, thank you.
Amen.
Hello, I'm Mr. Nancy. And ancestor to this row here. None of which have ever beaten me at cribbage, ever. Okay. What triggered me was Jordan. When I was right out of high school or year out of high school, I met this young lady again, and we went to a very small Bible school, smaller than this one. I remember my first year class, spending about 2 weeks thinking, I think I'm in a cult. I think I'm in a cult, but I wasn't. Found out later it was other circumstances, but I there received biblical training where they taught us not to be surprised when the world hated us, that we were supposed to live differently, and I've carried that ever since then. I didn't understand all the implications of it, but let me say, if you take some time to get to know God, at the time, it might feel like a waste. For the current seminarians, I don't mean to discourage you, but it might. But it really set our lives on a course that we appreciate. It was 3 years for Nancy, who actually graduated, and 2 years for me. And it changed our lives, because I was kind of a jerk before that. But God really can change people, and I'm really happy for the way, you know, I've turned out. I know what a jerk I was back then. And relatively speaking, yes, before. And it has brought fruition of our families and the children that our kids have chosen as partners, we're thrilled. Never feel like anything that you're doing to learn about God is a waste. It doesn't always bear fruit quickly, but wow, 35 years later, it continues to bear fruit, and I thank God for all of the mercy that I've received in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do you want me to wait or talk loud? Okay. I'm the terrible cribbage player as well as other games, but we still like to play games. This has really been a year of healing for me. After Corey became cancer-free, we tried to sell our house, and it took over a year, and it was a really difficult process. And then everything got calm. I didn't know what to do, and it made me go kind of crazy because I kept looking for the next crisis, and it didn't come. So I've had to relearn how to live in the last year and a half, and it's been really amazing to have a safe place to go through that healing and to be able to talk and wrestle with that with cell group and other close friends, and be able to be in a place in which, like Corey said, I know that if the worst happened, we would be cared for, but also a place where it's safe to open our hearts to care for other people, which is a high risk for me, and to be in a place which I feel that mutual being cared for, but also being sought out to care for others is really meaningful to me. So thank you.
Amen.
I feel like I'm living life.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, my name is Claire. it's been a lot of things have happened this year. Like getting accepted into college and like Trump. starting a new relationship. Like, my heart keeps breaking, but at the same time, I keep learning about how wonderful life can be and how strong love can be and how beautiful it can be. I keep dreaming about the people who have left this church, who have left my life, the people who I've had to say goodbye to. But I've also laughed a lot and learned a lot of who I am. And I'm very grateful that, like, I'm usually a happy person, but just, like, learning about the pain of the world and growing up is really hard. And it's hard. It's easy to just want to, like, crawl up in a ball and not do anything because it's hard to lose people, and when someone breaks your trust, like your country, it's really hard. So it's hard to want to trust and hope again when it feels like being betrayed. So I'm thankful that people tell me that it's hard, but that, you know, we're with each other and that, you know, it's going to be okay. Yeah. So I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
Good morning, church. I'm Amanda. If you leave the microphone open, you get Daryl and me. So let that be a testimony Sunday lesson to all of you. I don't have anything particularly special prepared this morning. I just can't resist the opportunity to just say I love you. I think this is our 9th anniversary at CAN. For those of you who were here with us at the very beginning, you've gotten to be front row witnesses to the transformation in our lives and our family and our homes and our children. So I'm always just so grateful to be here on a Thanksgiving Testimony Sunday and to look backwards and to just see the change. You know, I posted on the CAN community page about our family and Trump and in-laws and Thanksgiving, and I feel like I owe you a report back that not only do I really appreciate this church for just encouraging and walking kind of through that with me and knowing that, you know, we're just fine on that particular battlefield, but just to have a little boost of encouragement is really nice. But I can also report back that we just had a great conversation, and I think the message that came out of it with my in-laws is, you know, if you can't talk to the people you love most about some of these hard things, then who can you talk to? So it's not that you have to engage with everybody all the time, but even when those conversations are hard, I think when you can have them respectfully and faithfully, I think good things come out of it. So I would actually say that the conversation was productive, and maybe I see some things a little bit differently, and maybe they see some things a little bit differently, but it's not about changing people. It's about loving people and listening to people. And one of the things, I wish I had a really credible source for all of you, but one of the things that I've been really reflecting on lately is we talk about victimization a lot in this church, but I stumbled on some article on the internet, and there's, I don't even know who the theory comes from, but that basically there are multiple levels of energy that we can actively control and choose to engage in. So the bottom level is victimization, when we're hurt and when we're victimized. It's actually good for us to move out of victimization into anger and to be angry. As we move through that, we get to a point of tolerance where we can put up with the things around us, and we're tolerating. And you move through that, and you come to love. So when you really can move out of victimization through anger and move into a place where you're genuinely loving the people who you really disagree with or you're really frustrated with, that's a whole different energy and a whole different state of empowerment. And the last level in this article was opportunity. So I've been really thinking about that with the election, with everything going on, is what does it mean to be engaging out of a place of love and opportunity? What does it mean to be able to see that when we put this stuff out in the open, that there's more there's more clarity, there's more truth, there's more potential? So anyway, that's just been my thought over the last couple of weeks as I've found myself in a state of victimization, or I've found myself really, really angry and frustrated, to just think about what does it look like to move out of that into more of a place of love or more of a place of potential for what the future holds. And I don't know that I get there easily or all the time, but that's been kind of my head is pushing me through that. So thanks for helping me get through it every day here. Thanks.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Joseph Chepsiror. I'm one of the elders. Listening to everybody that has stood up here and, you know, give thanks, you know, it's like Kim said at the beginning, that he's always wondered why should we give thanks. And Thanksgiving, actually, for us, for those of you who come from outside of the country, we came here looking for a better life, a better opportunity. And then when it comes to that day on Thanksgiving Day, you wonder, what am I giving thanks for? That day on Thursday, you walk outside or you drive out in the street and it is so quiet. Nobody's out there. All the families are gathered. You sit in your house with your family. You're thinking of your family who is far away. You came here hoping for a new life, a new beginning. But all in all, I came here in 1989 and with a dream and with so much help. I wasn't a kid from aware of family that say, okay, we're going to send you, you have this money, you go spend and start a life. I basically came as I am. But reflecting on that as to why should I give thanks? I came alone, and now I am with a family. I've started my own family. I've gone through a lot of wondering, how is tomorrow going to be? I've gone through various presidents, you know, with each one of them coming with their own threats. We're going to do this to these such people, and you think I'm one of them. So each day you fear driving down the street, working, that I'm going to be yanked out and thrown out. It was easier that time when you are alone, but now that you are with the children, they will yank you out and throw you out. What is going to happen to your children? But God is with us. And I always tell my wife that he's been with us all that time. And now the new election has come, and we have a new president that has actually come in. And I think we should be thankful that he's been elected, so we know truly who we are.
Mm. Amen.
Before, you lived with friends, neighbors, and you never knew who they are. Everybody hide who they are, their own identity. I just read an article recently that, you know, this journalist decided to walk into the neighbor, and he happened to be a Jew. And he went there to listen. He didn't want to go interview this person, the neighbor. And he had a sign of Trump. And he wanted to know what he's thinking. And throughout his reasoning, he came out with all these genuine reasons, that validation why he did chose the person that he did. And each individual of us have a reason as to why they choose their own leader and why they choose the lifestyle that they want to lead. So what about us? What have we chosen? So this thing is bringing the inside of us so that probably we will begin at the end of it all, when things don't work out like what the new elect president wants to do, we will start the process of healing and knowing that we are all going through the same pain. So for me, I've lived since 1989 alone, and now I'm living with the family. I just got an opportunity, a chance to be a human being in this country. And now this, everything is turned upside down. I have my own family. It doesn't matter whether you have your legal resident or your citizen, we are all going through together. So my thank today is, we thank God that we are all seated here together. We are all in this together, crying together. Whether you're a citizen, a legal resident, you are born here or you are born outside, we are all in this together. We are all wondering, what is it going to be like as of January when we get a new president into the office? Because the pain is going to be on all of us. The changes that will happen is on all of us. But the beautiful thing is, we are all human beings. God is with us as we continue to pray. So I want to thank you this time. I want to thank the session in particular. I have been in session as an elder, not only to be one of the church leaders, but also I did found a home in that room, Corner Cafe, to put out my cries. And the session, not only that we've led together, but they've also helped to listen to my grievances, to my pain. I have shared a lot with the session than I've shared with many of you. I've shared my life, the inside of my life with the session. And I want to thank you this morning in particular to the session for putting up with me and listening so that I begin the process of healing. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jean. Thank you, all the session members, and thank you to you, church, as a whole. And may God bless you all as we go through this, as we rest and wait for Jesus to come take us home. Thank you.
Amen.
Church, I'm Tabitha, and I've never, like, I'm not one who would intentionally speak in front of a large group of people. Like, I, as far as I remember, I've never been confident, not because I'm, like, black or because I'm a girl, just because, like, I've been surrounded by, like, so many people that are smart and outspoken and just overall awesome, and it was very hard. It was very hard for me to be able to see that in myself. I'm also very obsessive about every little flaw that I've ever made. In first grade, I accidentally put my hand through the light of a projector while you're watching a movie, and I just was so scared by the look of disappointment the librarian gave me. Just a little. And I mean, even though these people are, like, super awesome and I love being around them, they're still nice enough to, like, try to help me see that in myself. I only go really three places, so my house, school, and church, and I feel like in all three of those places there are people that support me, so it really was just a matter of why didn't I see that in myself. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I would sometimes, like, silently kind of try to see the flaws in other people, or or just, like, distract myself with what they were telling me. So I finally feel like I've reached the point where I feel better about myself and I can actually believe what people are telling me. And I don't think I would have been able to get there had it not been for this congregation. So thank you.
Amen. You're awesome, Tabitha.
Sorry if I have to, like, cough or anything like that. And this mic is sweaty. I wish I was as funny as Tabitha, but
that was from Daryl, though, right?
I'm very thankful for this church. One is, you guys have no reason to take care of me or to love me or to accept me for who I am, but yet everyone does every day. I hope so. I hope they're not silently judging. So, I'm thankful for the community house I'm currently living in. Every time I call my mom, she's like, where are you now? Because she's like, are you at church? Are you in a house? And I'm currently in a basement. And she's like, what do you do there? Do you pay rent? No, I don't. They just let me live here for free. And she's always like, you're not even that great. I don't understand like why they just let you live there. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm not going to question it, but but I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for this church, for Pastor Jen, for my pastors, Tom, Pastor Paul. I'm thankful for my friend Roberto that can experience the same lifestyle. Just because it's such a contrast from what we grew up in Houston, from a church that kicked us out for being brown and a church that wants us to be here to be brown. So I think that's incredible. I'm thankful for just overall this year. It was kind of a rough year just because this year I dealt with more of internal issues that I wasn't normally comfortable with, but I knew that in the end of this year that the church would always be there for me for who I am, and that no matter who I turned out to be, that I'd always find like a rebalance back, because ultimately the church knows me, who I am, and they know who like I should be. So I'm just very thankful for everyone here, and I love every one of y'all. So God bless.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, church. I'm Myeongchang Gang. Actually, this is the first time I'll be here for the Thanksgiving ceremony. But I feel like God asked me to express gratitude so that I started to think about what should I share from yesterday. So it's what do I thank for? I mean, I keep thinking about that. And then I slept overnight last night, and during the sleep, I feel some severe pain in my left arms, and because maybe I was in awkward position that my hands kind of folded, so it's not much blood circulation in my hands, so I didn't feel anything, but I feel severe pain. So I moved to my arms, and then I can feel the sensation of the blood coming to my fingers, and then getting at the beginning, I cannot move anything, but I can feel something coming warm, and then I can move and give me the great insight that experience, because I really appreciate God that I can feel the pain without feeling the pain, even though my one of the body part is getting die, no blood, no nothing is going on. But you don't realize that it's really going bad. And also, I appreciate that I can move my arm so that I can fix it, blood circulation. So that give me the perspective. Feeling the pain is a blessing from God. And otherwise, what an embarrassment if you're using your arms or your fingers, your toes, without notice that it's getting bad. But I can feel that. Something is going bad in my arms. Why I'm sharing like this, the election night, I mean, everybody shared that similar experience. During the overnight, I had severe pain in my heart, and then also I could not sleep well, and at the night, I tried to sleep but hanging around in the bed. And the next day was very depressed, but thanks God that church called the prayer meeting, so I feel a sense of emergency. And then I came to the church. I was very surprised how many people show up in the prayer meeting just one day, and then how emotional the prayer meeting was. So many people shared tears with the painful heart. That gave me the really blessing. I'm not alone to feel the pain. I'm the community to share the pain together. That is the really blessing for us. So that, I mean, people usually, Korean people say, people very, very joyful. People ask me, pinch me. If you pinch me and I feel pain, that is not, show me the real. It is not fake. I'm not that dreamy. This is so. It's a pain at that time. Is a blessing for us, and that feeling the pain means that I'm not dead. I'm not in dreamy state. I'm really. I'm the alive, and also feeling the pain means we have hope. We can be better. So. I'm very glad I'm the part of the community. I can share my thought, my pain, and also I can feel the other people's pain too. Thank you.
I'm Daniel, and I measured my heartbeat before coming up here, so it's 107 beats per minute, because every time that I'm going to say something that is just true about myself or things like that, then I get really nervous. But yeah, 2016 has been a year of a lot of growth, a lot of reflection. And a few weeks ago, I had a conversation with Dana after church, and I was crying and like just, you know, questioning, should I leave this church? Like things are, you know, like, and talking with Kendra and crying and just, and so I don't have my thoughts were well formulated. And so I really, really appreciate Amanda Rangham and Daryl because they always model vulnerability and like, you don't have to say everything like with polished tones and everything. So it's going to come out however it needs to come out. But yeah, I think, you know, so a few weeks ago, I had been part of a cell group leading it for almost 2 years now, maybe a year, I don't know. And so I decided to step down and leave the cell group. And I was talking with Chan, and he was like, you know, you don't have to do things black and white. Like, you can always come back if you want to visit or be part of it. And I was like, oh, that's true. That's an option. And then this, my last session with the cell group, I was sharing with Corey about how part of my feelings around, like, should I leave this church and stuff like that has to do with my trust in white people and just feeling like, can I really trust them? I feel betrayed because of the election. It's always really hard, you know, to love people who are very hard to love. And just one night I cried with Kendra and being like, well, I love my church and I know they love me, but when it comes to white folk, can I really trust that they really will support us? Because I really believe what Pastor Jin says about trusting the Lord, that he will always have your back, but can people do that for me? And so I've been in that place of wrestling with that reality and just questioning so many things. And one thing that I really appreciated Corey Max that sharing with me is like, Daniel, I really appreciate your voice seen that, and I want to offer also that we were part of a church that didn't really embrace us, and especially during hard times, and so I really feel like this church loves me and loves you, and maybe it's part of you were not, you haven't been part of a church. And I thought, oh wow, like that is really true. Until 3 years ago when I started coming here, I had never really been part of a church. And so I think I'm here today because I'm thankful that you guys let me speak my thoughts and you don't put this expectation that I'm supposed to be perfect, that I'm supposed to be grateful all the time, that I'm supposed to be thankful. And like even just during passing of the peace for the last few weeks, I've been just standing in my corner and like you guys haven't come up and asked me, what's wrong? Why are you not in the middle of the row? Why are you not shouting? Why are you not doing this? Because I can just be my broken self and go through my own crap and just work it through. And so I think I'm really thankful for this church that is letting me work through all those demons, because I don't believe they're godly, they're white supremacist demons that lets me divide people regarding based on color. And so, but I'm detoxing from that. I'm wrestling with that. But I'm also experiencing the pain of what it is to love white folks, especially when interactions feel awkward, when it feels weird, when it feels lonely, when it feels kind of like I'm working so hard. And so, you know, I can just name that and I can be okay with that. And I can and I can try to love myself harder and love you guys harder, but also push you to love people harder, right? And so I'm just really thankful to be able to voice that and to have a church when those conversations can happen and I don't need to like shy away from them, be like, oh no, am I gonna make white people uncomfortable? Well, if I am, so be it, right? You guys are okay. And so I really appreciate that. And so I'm really, really thankful that I'm in this journey of like just a lot of growth and to know what it's like to be part of a church as my full broken self, because it's very easy for me to say, I'm done and I wanna quit. And I'm no longer doing that. So I'm really, really thankful for you guys.
Amen.
Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Melody. Daniel, thank you for the piece about when your heart is beating really hard, because that's something for me, too, that I know. And I have just that like impression from the Spirit that I do need to come and share. And so I just wanted to express my gratitude for this community as well, because I grew up in the Evangelical Baptist Church and from there went to Bethel. which a lot of you know Bethel, and left Bethel really with just like my middle finger up toward the church. I was so angry. I just saw that the church, the Christian church, had no space for questions. I had no space for like deeper wrestling, deeper questions about big things that Pastor Jin says from the pulpit every day here. And I'm so grateful. White supremacy, poverty, how America has an empire throughout the world. And I just was angry for most of my 20s at the church. And I think a big healing part for me was having my daughter Elia, who you all see running around here, very spunky little five-year-old. And I was a single mom from the time she was born up until she was four when my partner Javier came into my life. And a lot of you have met him. And something to be grateful for, as of a month and a half ago, he and I are engaged. So very grateful for that. But I'm just so grateful for this space, that it's a practice in this church to wrestle and to question and to ask these bigger questions of ourselves. And something I'm grateful for is that in the last couple of years, when Elia was three, I moved out to Boston, and I was doing a master's program in community engagement. And I'm really grateful that that program, in many ways, gave me a language and a lens to see social justice in words around systems of privilege and oppression, whether myself as a woman feeling oppressed in the church and in society, or also my inability as a white person to hear the narratives of people of color. And I ended up having kind of a huge mental stretch and doing my thesis on whiteness and a reflection into my own socialization into whiteness. And now I really do feel so strongly called to challenge other white people, as Daniel is saying, to do that work. It's really difficult spiritual, psychological, cognitive, emotional work to look really deeply into how we've been complicit in whiteness, how we continue to parent it into our kids, just all of these things that we move through that every day of our lives. And so that's something I'm grateful that Can is already starting to name. But I know that we as white people also, I want to kind of come and bring that call and that charge that we need to do that difficult reflection together and on our own time before we often come to these communal spaces. Because if we're not calling it out, if we're not naming it, it's going to continue to be the common narrative. And not just whiteness, but also things like classism, heterosexism. Thanksgiving weekend, my sister was working on coming out to my family and just struggling through that I believe that the church accepts her and loves her as she is, but to see the rest of my family who claim to be Christian do not believe that, and how much that hurts my heart. And so, I mean, I'm grateful for a lot of the pain of this year, of the things that are coming out and that we do need to struggle to name and work through, that have been under the surface in our country this whole time, trying to name for my daughter race. Like our kids are seeing it. Our kids are socialized into it from day one. And if we're not naming it and saying it in Cool Kids, that saying things like white supremacy, saying things like racism to them and letting their minds wrap around it now at age three, at age five, at age six, they're going to be like me, that when I was 25 and I realized what white privilege was and that it required something of me, that it was such a huge cognitive shock for me. And so we need to do that work. I'm just inviting the rest of the church to do that, to work through that. And I know that God holds us in that. And I'm grateful that yesterday, having coffee with Rebecca, she said that this is a low bar church as far as vulnerability, but then a high bar once you've been vulnerable, that the church holds you in that. And I've never seen that in the church before. And I'm very grateful. Very grateful for this community. Thank you. Amen.
The Hellies plus one.
Oh, yeah. I've had this baby for like 3 weeks. I know what I'm doing. So first off, I'm thankful for snaps and zippers, because buttons are impossible. I'm thankful for my little baby boy. I'm thankful that 3 weeks ago he kept my wife and I up on the longest night of the year so that he could greet us that Sunday morning. I'm grateful for a church that has space for his oohs and ahs and coos during the service. I'm grateful for a community that will love him. I'm grateful for a wife who is an all-star and somehow looks fantastic 3 weeks after giving birth, which I didn't think was possible physiologically, but she's incredible. The love that she shows for our son and the support that she gives me to allow me to sleep as much through the night as possible is incredible.
Amen.
And I'm also thankful for the fact that we're in a church that will help Teddy realize that being white does not mean that he's right, and that he can learn the privilege that he has and leverage that privilege to help bring equity into this world.
Amen.
Rather than just living selfishly in a way that makes the world better for him, that he can make it better for others as well.
Amen.
Hey, church. My name's Roberto. I'm grateful for all you guys. It's kind of crazy. 6 months ago, I came to Minnesota for a better life. I wasn't doing so great in Houston, health-wise, and just I wasn't in a good situation. I'm glad that Jonathan kind of pushed me to go forward and actually pursue coming here, and for Tao for pushing it with Pastor Jin. Even though I know he likes that I'm here. grateful for all the friendships that I've made, all the people that have helped me, like Tao and Pastor Paul are like my heroes. I really appreciate them so much. For Jonathan and yeah, it's just great to be here, and I'm thankful for all you guys, and I love y'all. Thanks.
Well, I sense that we're getting hungry. Yes, we are. And I'm so grateful. What an incredible congregation that we have and that we get to be a part of. It's not incredible for any other reason except we just make space for us to be ourselves, as we've seen. And that's not a small thing in this world where systems above us see us as means of production and consumption and as tools for some other purpose than just living into our humanity and being the children of God, which is what we really are. So this place humanizes me and my family and everybody here. This church is very much, as I've shared before, an experiment, an extension of a healthy family relating. What is a marriage where the couple really shares who they are at the very base level, like Amanda mentioned, victimization. What we've been victimized in our upbringing and our society today, and sharing that vulnerably with one another and expressing anger and all of that, and then being okay through that, healing through that. What would it look like for an entire congregation, the people of God, to communicate, to share, to experience, and to love at that level? And then what that might mean for our witness to the world. The church is a refuge from the world. It's also a launching pad back into the world through our mutual equipping. So for different people in our church, it can kind of, on that spectrum, primarily be a place of refuge, and that's perfectly okay. And some people can be in that place for years. For others, it can be a launching pad where we are really engaging the world out of our healing and training. And at other times, it can be a return back to a place of refuge. We've had visitors come through here the last few weeks who are on their way to Standing Rock and slept in our church over the weekend. And one of them called our church a city of refuge, which is a reference to the Old Testament when there was a conflict that could not be solved, that someone can run to a city of refuge and just find their place for a while. So I hope that we are a city of refuge for ourselves and for those who pass through, but also as a locus of discipleship where we go forth into the world. That sense is especially kind of hitting me in a deeper way. A little over a month from now, our church becomes a teenager. We will celebrate our 13th anniversary as a congregation on January 1st, January 4th. You know, Jesus dialogued with the rabbis in the temple when he was 12. 12, 13 is roughly the time of the bar mitzvah in the Jewish tradition, where in the bat mitzvah, where boys and girls become men and women. And yeah, this is tenuous times that we live in. But I wonder if God has also given us a pretty good, safe, secure, loving childhood as a church to prepare us for these times. We also had a wonderful support. We were birthed not ex nihilo, out of nothing, but out of the love and support of the Korean Presbyterian Church, our mother church that launched us. We were 2 years old when we came into this building, and a bunch of people known as the Shiloh Bethany Presbyterian Church since 1884 welcomed us and embraced us, and they have been grandmas and grandpas to a lot of the younger generation here. And my children had their grandparents, my parents, live with them since they were babies for 12 wonderful years before my parents returned to Korea. And we were only 2 years old when Shiloh Bethany Presbyterian Church welcomed us and raised us. We've had loving, multi-generational love and nurture in this congregation. We wouldn't be who we are. We wouldn't be as safe and secure as we are if we weren't birthed by loving parents and raised by loving grandparents in this church. That's the family feel that we have. And because we can talk about hard things, real things, sensitive things, then when we love, after that, it's real love, right? It's not tiptoeing around sensitivities love. It's getting past that and loving through that. And that's how we make real family. And if we can do that here among 25 or so ethnic backgrounds, national backgrounds, cultural backgrounds that are represented here, imagine what we can do in much more homogeneous spaces. So we're doing the really hard thing, really complicated thing here, and hopefully that will give us some inspiration, guidance, example, concrete example for us to live that out in other places in our lives, offering real hope and good news to a world in more desperate need of it now than ever before. We hear babies in our church. We've got to do a lot for them. We've got to stand strong for them. We've got to learn, like really educate ourselves for them. Because I don't believe that our nation is evil. I really don't. I believe that our nation is incredibly naive. A willful naivete that serves some more than others. And that's the temptation I think we're going to have to face squarely. Because there's just no time now for naivete. We all got to wake up, smell the coffee, and we all have to raise our children with much more intentionality than many of us were raised. That's what's at stake. And that's what we pledge to do together as a congregation. Whether we have biological or adoptive children or not, we're all the children of God, and we all pledge as a congregation to raise each other, especially our young, in true faith. So I really thank God for every one of you that has made that commitment to be family together, to hang together in these rough times, and to be faithful together so that we do not go with the world, but that we go with Jesus and point this world to the way, the truth, and the life, the only true life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray.